Chapter 2 Courting Disaster. Summary. Bruce meets his match. Talking to Talia was the best decision Bruce had ever made. Within 10 minutes, he went from fascinated to enamored. She was so... He didn't have the words for it. There was just something about her sharp eyes and the curl of her lips that electrified the place his heart should have been in. She was danger, plain and simple, and Bruce was a fan. "How long are you in town, Miss Al Ghul?" he asked, hoping she would say, "Forever." Talia sipped her champagne and hummed in consideration. "Who's to say? I haven't found anything fascinating about this speck of land yet. Just smug and suffering. Hardly a place to spend my time." The emeralds in her ears gleamed, and even in the bright light, Talia seemed to be draped in shadows. She would do so well in Gotham's dark corners where no light would ever reach. Bruce tilted his head and smiled his best, brightest smile.
"Don't let the Metropolites fool you, Miss Al Ghul. Gotham has plenty of gorgeous sights hidden from the spotlight. You just need a guide to show you them."
He stepped forward and trailed a finger in her hair as he leaned closer.
"What do you say to having me show you around? I'm sure I can find something in the shadows that strikes your fancy."
She eyed him for a long time, a mixture of bemused and worry, and sipped her champagne again. "I suppose you'll make an adequate distraction, for now," she said noncommittally. Bruce felt another shiver run down his spine as he returned her smile. Talia was the Barbie to Bruce's Ken. She was sophisticated, talented, smart, and pretty. Very pretty. In the words of his bratty teenager, Bruce was a full-on simp for her. For lack of knowing what that actually meant, Bruce took it as a compliment. He and Talia had been on several dates so far, and each one had been better than the last. When he had taken her to the opera, he had even gotten her to laugh. To his delight, she had a rough chuckle, almost like she had been kicked in the ribs. It contrasted with her polished fashion in a way that made her so sincerely alive that Bruce couldn't help but laugh with her. A booming, casual laugh, not his Brucey one. Talia seemed to like that, too. And that night marked a turning point for them both. For the first few dates, Talia had been obviously indifferent, but with each one, she thought a little more, laughed a little louder. By the time the opera had rolled around, Bruce had even been starting to hope. And then, after he took her home that night, she called him to say goodnight. Gotham's shadows had been heart-shaped for 3 hours after that. There had been a news story about the phenomenon, and several of the rogues had freaked out about Batman being disturbingly happy when he stopped their crimes. Bruce was on cloud 9, and Talia had reached out to him. Maybe this time something long-term could happen.
he wouldn't have to be single anymore. Everything was perfect.
No,
Dick said.
No,
Batman parroted back, breaking out of his fantasies.
Do you want to hear it in Spanish?
Dick said.
No.
Batman cocked his head like an owl, as in completely upside down. He and Robin were on a stakeout and had started chatting to pass the time.
You can't date her. She has the ick,
Dick said.
Ick.
Bruce torqued his head another 30 degrees. Teenagers got new slang too fast for his taste. Keeping track of it was mentally draining.
Yeah, the ick, Dick said. She's weird, and I don't like how she looks at you. Find someone else.
Bruce frowned, his shadows getting darker.
No.
Dick double-took.
What?
Bruce didn't say anything. He was too busy sulking. He liked Talia. There was something different about her. What was the harm in pursuing that? He hadn't with Selena, and look where that got him. That's right, nowhere. Maybe if he had shown more initiative, she wouldn't have dumped him.
She's a creepy ninja lady,
Dick said, gesturing wildly.
I don't want her as my stepmom.
Oh, yeah.
Her double life as a mercenary assassin. That was a bit problematic. However, Talia didn't seem to be accepting any jobs at the moment, so Bruce was willing to overlook that. If anything, knowing she could take down a group of armed men without breaking a sweat was a turn-on.
She's perfect,
Bruce said to Dick.
Her grandfather is minor royalty, and she can count to 1,000.
Dick looked lost. So?
So?
Batman drew his cloak around himself until all that remained for his form were two white eyes.
That makes her a princess.
He dissipated into the night, leaving Robin to scramble after him. Seriously, Bee? He heard the boy yell. I said that when I was 9. Bruce did not stop seeing Talia. In fact, as Dick would say, he dated her even harder. Nights at the opera turned into evenings at the aquarium, followed by strolls through botanical gardens. Bruce listened avidly as Talia ranted about environmentalism and the plague of human progress. She was so passionate about her ideals. And in turn, Talia softened around him until the sharp edges he so adored were blunted in his presence. He should have minded, except there was something special about her lowering her walls around him. Bruce didn't want to jinx himself, but he thought Talia was growing genuinely fond of him. She had even delayed her travels home to spend Valentine's Day in Gotham.
You'd like her, I think,
Bruce told Alfred after gushing, grunting, for 30 minutes about the restaurant he wanted to take her to.
She's fierce.
I do hope she's an improvement over the Kyle woman, Alfred said haughtily as he dusted a shelf. Fierceness is only one of many respectable qualities.
Bruce
said, and decided to hold off inviting Talia to the manor for the time being. Neither Dick nor Alfred seemed wild about her.
And Bruce didn't want to scare her off like he had with Selena. Spending Valentine's Day alone was a safer bet. Or not. Bruce was a fool. He had been so excited to spend the day with Talia, and then the night, it had been a great day, that he had gotten sloppy. In public, that was fine. The shadows under the lamp post had simply wobbled more than normal, and the passerby had shuddered as they felt something other watching them with invisible eyes. But in Talia's apartment, where the lights were off and only the glow of the city below illuminated them, the darkness had become too alive to ignore. And in the kissing, caressing, and sweet nothings they had been involved with, Bruce's control had slipped on the banana of bad decisions and fallen down the stairs of consequences. He had stayed frozen as Talia gaped at him, taking in his true form with wide eyes. He was half Bruce, half Batman, more shadow than human, and filled every corner of the room. The darkness was suffocatingly dense, and Gotham buzzed in his veins. He braced himself for her horror and revulsion. Vengeance wasn't supposed to be pretty nor alluring. It was pain and punishment, obscured by darkness until it struck with bloody knuckles and inevitable violence. Being Bruce was a novelty because that face was the opposite of everything he truly was, and it was what Talia had fallen for. Bruce, not Batman. She would want nothing to do with him. "Oh, my," she said after a moment. "Beloved." "I can't explain." Bruce began, though he wondered where he was even supposed to start. His stuttered, half-baked expository tale was cut off as Talia reeled him in for a deep, passionate kiss. Her lips tasted like cherry, and her fingers gripped him with bruising strength. "We can talk later," she said, when she came up for air, resting her cheek against his. "You are marvelous." Everything seemed to stop. No clocks existed. It was just him, Talia, and the darkness. Something tender and small burned in the place Bruce's heart was supposed to be, bright against the rest of his essence. "I am," he said. She nodded, a gleam in her eyes. The same knife-like intensity which with she viewed the world was directed completely to him, and there was only want within it. "Yes, beloved, you are perfect," Talia said, and pulled him down again as the shadows enveloped them both. Over the next week, heart-shaped shadows dotted the entire city. The rogues were now officially concerned. By March, Bruce could confidently say he had never been happier. Honesty was the key to a good relationship, and everything since Valentine's Day had been, to quote that strange man in red from Metropolis, "plum, dandy, and swell." Talia liked Bruce and Batman, especially Batman. She said he was a dark well of power that she was helpless to stay away from, and an intriguing spring of eternity to boot. Bruce was very pleased. Most people cowered in fear when Batman appeared, which was by design, but Talia's eyes lit up. She regarded him like a magpie that had just found a shiny bubble. Bruce liked that a lot. The female gaze was amazing. Even better, now that Talia knew who and what he was, he could show her Gotham the proper way. They traded civilian dates for chases across rooftops and splinking tours of Gotham's labyrinthine tunnels. Bruce could appear in whatever shape he wanted around her, and Talia grew more and more familiar with him as well. In short, it was a magical, wonderful time, and Bruce wanted to spend the rest of his life with this woman. The only problem was that his teenage son was a judgy grump, determined to ruin what little happiness Bruce could find, and Dick played dirty. "Who is that?" Bruce said one night. He had just returned to the Batcave after a long night of staring into Talia's eyes, only to find his sanctuary invaded. "I don't know what you are talking about," Dick said, like the brat he was.
"Robin," Bruce said, losing patience. Barbara Gordon, Batgirl, was sitting at the Batcomputer. She had stolen Bruce's favorite swivel chair and hadn't moved in hours. He was pretty sure she was overhauling his entire computer system. Dick crossed his arms with confidence only a 14-year-old could muster. "She's already been patrolling on her own for months. I'm just being friendly to our local vigilante buddies."
"You invited her into the Batcave," Bruce said, channeling Sun.
Having someone else use a bat name for their hero work was fine. Bruce honestly couldn't care less. But welcoming them into his home and letting them poke and prod his computer, that crossed a line.
"So, you invited Talia to patrol," Dick said waspishly. "I'm the lesser of two evils. Besides, now that you're spending all your time with that lady, it makes sense for me to have a new primary partner. Right, babe? I mean, Babs."
Bruce's ears sharpened and his eyes narrowed into angry triangles. "Primary partner? But that wasn't safe. Bruce needed to supervise his boy so he didn't goad two rival gangs into targeting him again."
"You're not subtle, Boy Wonder," Babs said, still glued to the screen.
"Your crush is cute, but I fly solo. You just make a good minion now and then."
"I don't know what you are talking about," Dick said, swiveling on his heel. His ears were bright red. "I find you completely unattractive."
"Keep telling yourself that," Babs said, unaffected. "Enough was enough."
"Get out of my house," Bruce said, glaring at his stolen swivel chair. That was his. He had bought it from IKEA, fair and square.
Babs absently flipped him the bird and continued overhauling the Batcomputer's code. Dick grinned smugly at Batman, like he had just proved something. Bruce was never going to understand this kid. In a matter of months, Batman and Robin turned into Robin and Batgirl. Dick refused to patrol as Bruce's third wheel and left the personification of vengeance to his own devices. Babs and Dick were a duo now, though Barbara treated him more like a sidekick. Luckily, Dick seemed fine with that, though he had a bad habit of sighing wistfully whenever she kicked someone in the teeth. That was fine by Bruce, because he got to spend more time with Talia. Lies. He missed his baby. Talia was acting odd, though. All of Bruce's resources, Google, Reddit, and various soap operas, agreed that was usually the sign of a breakup, but that didn't seem right. Talia wasn't distant. If anything, it was the opposite. Bruce could barely find time away from her. They were together every day, followed by most of the night. Bruce liked that, although he put his foot down when she asked him to cancel plans with Dick. He needed bonding time with his bitty baby, come hell or high water. But Talia was also asking him to stay Batman more than Bruce. Again, he didn't mind, but it was odd. Batman was a manifestation of unresolved wrongs, bent on getting even. His presence warped reality and brought an awareness of fleeting mortality, so most humans didn't like looking at his true form in the eye. But as always, Talia was different. She would cup his shadowed face in hers, staring at him with reverent, gleaming eyes, and tell him how marvelous he was. "This is what you are meant to be," she said, tracing his cheek with her nails. "You don't have to pretend around me, beloved. I love you for what you really are." Bruce liked to hear that. Really, he did. But it still seemed odd. Alfred, who had little to no interest on what happened outside of the manor, or with people that weren't his charges, simply shrugged and told Bruce that perhaps that was just how relationships worked after a certain point. Bruce grunted and turned on another telenovela. The bright lights on the screen hurt his eyes, but it was a window into the madness that was romance, and he could use all the help he could get. "Maybe it's a sign you should break up with her," Dick said, flopping onto the couch next to Bruce. He switched the channel to Dr. Phil with a pointed look at Bruce. You know, because she is crazy. Bruce let himself sink into the couch, sizzling into a mass of writhing shadows. "I like crazy." "Sure you do," Dick said, pulling out his phone to text someone. "Don't come crying to me when it all goes wrong." Bruce, mature and ageless, remotely turned off the Wi-Fi. "You suck," Dick said, switching to mobile data. "I hope you walk under a UV light on patrol and get sunburned for a week." Now, Alfred said, too busy knitting a pair of Robin-themed gloves to intervene in a meaningful way. "That's no way to talk to your father. Jealousy is unbecoming." "I'm not jealous," Dick said, aghast. "Really?" Bruce dripped with both sarcasm and shadows. "Is that why I have a princess, and you don't?" Bruce wasn't blind. It had been months. Dick had been following Babs around like a lost puppy. Unfortunately, she was just as uninterested now as she had been when Dick was 10. Minion status was the best he could get. "At least my princess isn't a psycho nut job," Dick muttered, turning bright red. He went back to his phone, blush crawling up his ears. "And I don't like Babs. We just hang out, like mature, cool people our age." "Of course," Alfred said blandly. "I'm sure Miss Gordon would say the same. However, she would mean it." Dick grumbled and sank lower into the cushions. Bruce turned the Wi-Fi back on and settled in to watch his show. Vindicated, if nothing else. A month later, Reddit proved Bruce right. "She's gone?" Dick said, a big smile on his face. Bruce, once again a puddle on the parquet floor, found a way to nod without a neck. "Hell yeah!" Dick cried, jumping for joy. "Language," Alfred said, idly manifesting a map to push Bruce into an area with less foot traffic. "And I believe Master Batman said they were taking a break." Bruce didn't like the reminder. He removed the last of his surface tension, coating the entire cave floor with his sadness. "Uh-huh, right, sure," Dick said, unconvinced. "Goodbye, Ninja Karen. Hello, Bachelorhood. This is the best day of my life." Bruce's horrible, unsympathetic son did a victory lap around the room, then followed that up with a truly appalling dance of celebration. "I thought your ultimate happiness would be when Miss Gordon agreed to go on a movie date with you," Alfred said. "She hasn't done that yet, so that's a moot point," Dick said. "Rejoice, Bruce! You're free!" Batman did not rejoice. He missed the gleam of Talia's eyes and the scrape of her fingernails in his hair. Who was he supposed to buy knives for now? Dick was banned from sharp objects after several incidents, and Alfred would only accept antique silverware as gifts. Talia's rants about saving the Earth from humanity were also entertaining, and now he didn't get any of them. He would never recover from this. But Talia said she had to go home for a while. She wanted to talk to her father about something, and Bruce couldn't leave Gotham for long periods of time. Sunny places did awful, unspeakable things to him, so he, by nature, had to stay behind. So here he was, with only the promise that Talia would come back. He wanted to believe she would, but late at night, he would remember how his relationship with Selina ended, and wonder if this would go in the same direction. What was it about his large mansion, adorable child, and dedicated butler that scared people off? They didn't bite. Much. Perhaps it was the familial stability. That was a bizarre thing to find in Gotham, downright foreign to most of the locals. Dick continued to cackle like the gremlin he was. Then he said something about telling Vicky Bale Bruce could be included in Gotham's most eligible again and raced up the stairs. "Shall I stop him, Master Bat?" Alfred asked. Bruce shrugged again, still an amorphous pile of goo. Contrary to popular, aka Dick's opinion, Talia did come back, smiling and glowing with pride. She said everything with her father had gone well, and she had gotten the information she needed. "Now everything will truly be perfect," she said, pressing a kiss to Bruce's jaw. They were on a rooftop near the docks, watching the harbor lights the way other couples enjoyed Christmas decorations. Bruce wanted to agree with her, to say he had never felt as close and as connected with another person as he did with her, to invite her to come live in his mansion, gremlin child included, and have her finally meet Alfred and Dick. Happily Ever After was a fixture on fairy tales, but Bruce was sure he and Talia could make their own. But before he could open his mouth, he felt a sharp prick on his arm. Bruce blinked, suddenly shaky. He looked down. There was a hole in his arm, like he had been jabbed with a syringe. But that was silly. Drugs didn't work on... The world spun. He was falling. Strong, supple arms caught him, and he heard a voice croon, sharp nails running through his hair. "Patience, beloved," Talia said. "It will be over soon. Promise." Panic filled his heart, a rare emotion for the Batman. Bruce had been so enraptured by the dangerous glint of her soul that he hadn't realized she had turned its sharp edge onto him until it was too late. One moment, he struggled to stay awake, and the next he was. Nowhere. Or everywhere? Bruce couldn't tell. Everything was strange suddenly. Pieces were missing. What was happening? Where was Robin? Dick? He woke in chains. The fact that he had been asleep at all was disturbing. Bruce hibernated during times of peace, but even then he had limited awareness. Gotham's lull never faded from his bones, but it was muted now. Bruce felt groggy, disjointed, like his cape was torn. The blanket of night that coated him was ripped, whole chunks missing from it. Swathes of his selfhood were gone, and Bruce felt their loss through painless absence. There was no phantom ache of something that had been there fighting to be felt. Any memory, sensation, or emotion tied to those pieces of himself was just not there. Bruce tried to stand, but all he could get to were his elbows. Solid shape was hard to hold, but he wanted to collect himself in the darkness under the Wayne Manor and sleep for 1,000 years until every scar was soothed away and he could be Gotham's sword again. But no, he couldn't do that. Dick was already growing up fast. If Bruce fell asleep, then the boy would be dead of old age before he saw him again, and that was unacceptable. Luckily, his form held, and the frigid chains tied around his limbs helped keep him stitched together, although he was numb where they touched. "Awake, are you?" someone said, their voice polished like metal and wickedly sharp blades. Before now, the sound would have caused a delighted shiver to go up Bruce's spine. Now, the sensation was much more unpleasant. "Talia," Bruce growled, still trying to get his bearings. "What is this?" Talia stepped forward, her dark hair pinned neatly behind her head. She wore cotton sparring gear, embroidered with a golden serpent on the side panels. Bruce had seen her in it dozens of times as they had chased each other through the city after dark. He had known it was a practical custom, but Talia had never worn so many weapons as she was now. Every inch of her was covered in blades, most of which Bruce had bought for her. He wished, suddenly, that he hadn't gotten her such high-quality ones. "Apologies, beloved," she said, kneeling in front of him. "I know this must be discomforting, but you will adjust once we have arrived."
"Arrived where?" Bruce rasped. He looked around, taking in his surroundings. Usually, his shadows sensed the contours of everything they touched, so he rarely needed his eyes.
but the numbness from the chains was spreading. Bruce could barely feel Gotham, and no wonder. They were in a shipping container.
You removed me from my city,
Bruce said in alarm.
Talia.
It's for your own good, Talia said, flexing her hand as if she wanted to reach out and touch him. You are wasted there, beloved. That dirty city doesn't deserve a protection spirit like you. My people will treasure you the way you are meant to be. In Nanda Parbat, your true potential will be unleashed.
Her eyes burned ardent, obsessive fire. Bruce struggled against the chains, a growl in his throat. She didn't understand. He was a facet of Gotham. Taking him from the city wouldn't sever him from it. His abilities were severely weakened outside its borders, but he was still connected to Gotham. Being relocated to her sunny homeland was out of the question.
Shh, beloved, Talia said, caressing his cheek with a sharp fingernail. You will see things my way soon. I've learned about critters like you from my father. Whatever heart you feed on alters you. So all one must do is change the desires you feast on, and the rest will follow. You will acclimate to my home soon, and you will love it more than this vile land. You will not need to hide yourself behind a false face, mimicking a species who doesn't appreciate you like I do.
That wasn't. Bruce didn't need to hide. He wanted to be both Dickstad and Gotham's protector. Both could exist at once. He gave up nothing by being one or the other. Except his senses dulled when he concentrated too much on his human face, and Gotham was never pleased when he drifted too far from his mission. It was tolerant at best, impatient at worst, and Bruce had to fight to stay himself.
Talia rested a hand on his chest and another on her own. My heart is for the taking. We will cull the softness from your flesh and remake you into what you are always meant to be, beloved. With my help, Batman will be marvelous. He almost couldn't believe what he was hearing. All those nights together, all their laughter and soft gazes, and she wanted to cut him in half and keep the good part? The thing that was Bruce's heart broke.
My name,
he said, gathering the pieces of himself together again,
is Bruce, and I will do no such thing.
There was only one person he had changed for, and it wasn't Talia al Ghul. Bruce would rather unmake himself than let whatever delusions festered inside her corrupt him. He had fashioned his own life out of the cobbled pieces of humanity Dick had helped him collect, and nothing would ever convince him to give them up. Talia sighed and stood. I suspected you would react this way. It seems the extreme measures were called for, after all. I couldn't risk you saying no. Talia drew a bottle out of the folds of her clothes. It was half filled with shadows torn from his cape, writhing and straining against the glass. In her other hand was a wickedly sharp knife inscribed with delicate runes. Bruce felt cold at the sight of it. He knew, instinctually, that it was a weapon that could do him true harm. The woman he thought he loved twirled it as she approached. Bruce tried to call his shadows, but the chains burned when he attempted to do so. He was trapped, weak.
Reasoning with you has failed, but perhaps you will be more cooperative after I revive you, she said. Your body isn't flesh, so I don't need all of it, just your heart. I'm sure isolating it will help you acclimate quicker.
Talia angled the blade at his ribs. Bruce braced himself for pain, but before she could plunge it into his chest, the world intervened. The shipping container tilted and rolled, metal crashing like cannons as something rammed it. Bruce felt the impact, but his relationship with pain was nebulous. He barely noticed the crunch of his nose against the floor, too focused on struggling against his chains. Talia rolled with the container, but couldn't right herself before the door was ripped from its hinges. "Hey, lady!" Robin said, standing in the doorway. If Wrath wore a face, it would be his. Behind him, Batgirl was operating the crane that had knocked the container over. "Get away from my dad!" Both teenagers burned with fierce, righteous anger and the need to avenge Bruce. Batman felt his soul light up from that, feeding on the strength of their hearts. Talia's eyes widened as she got into a fighting stance. Bruce wanted to tell her it was pointless, trained at birth she may have been, but there was no way she could beat Robin. Not because she was better than him, simply because once Dick was angry, he fought dirtier and longer than all of the rogues in Gotham combined, and right now, he was madder than Bruce could ever recall. Half an hour later, Bruce finally got out of the chains. He sat on a cot in the medbay, rubbing his arms as Alfred yanked the repulsive things off. Talia had escaped by the skin of her teeth, taking the keys with her, so they had had to use a bolt cutter. Both non-human entities had hated every second of it. Whatever the chains were made out of was nasty business. Dick had named it Anti-Bat-Metal. Very apropos. "Now, will you listen to me when I tell you someone's bad news?" Dick said, sitting in a pretzel shape on the floor. Bruce grunted, embarrassed by the whole situation. Underneath his general humiliation was the soul deep hurt of being betrayed by someone he adored. Instead of processing those feelings, he was choosing to ignore them. It seemed like the safer option. "It's not his fault, Dick," Batgirl said as she wandered over. She had been updating the Batcomputer again. "Don't victim blame." "I'm not," Dick said, rolling his eyes. "But for crying out loud! We never should have let it get to this point. She was so obviously shady."
"I like shadows," Bruce muttered. "Shady is good."
Dick groaned, flopping onto the floor. If it were possible, Bruce was sure his son would have turned into a liquid. Bruce rubbed his wrists again, feeling the shadows writhing as they tried to heal the numbed areas. It would take a few days, if not weeks, to feel normal again. Maybe longer. Bruce's cape was still a tattered mess of shredded cloth. The shadows had been pricking at it, but hadn't been able to patch it together. Bruce felt smaller now, hollowed out.
"Thank you for the save, son,"
Bruce said, repressing those emotions too.
"I needed it."
He never should have let his guard down around Talia,
The odds of her being a fanatic spiritualist who wanted to destroy his human aspect had been low. But Batman's entire purpose was to be a detective. This was on him. He had been leaning too heavily into his human guise the last few years, and he had almost paid a permanent price as a consequence.
Perhaps it would be best, Master Bat, if you abstained from romantic partners for the time being,
Alfred said, placing a cool hand on Bruce's shoulder.
You seem to have bad luck in that area, though not for lack of trying.
Bruce sighed, hating that the butler was right. Though, to be fair, aside from the kidnapping, attempted reprogramming, and almost stabbing his heart out, Talia had been wonderful. In her own twisted way, she had loved Bruce just as intensely as he did her. Bruce doubted he would find that kind of devotion again.
I guess the Dark Knight just isn't destined to have a princess, Barbara said, plopping herself onto Bruce's swivel chair again. Pretty ironic.
You're pretty, Dick said, then coughed. I mean, pretty ironic.
Still not dating you, Dick, she said, pulling out her phone.
I never said I wanted to. Just take the compliment. Geesh, Dick said, bright red again. Bruce and Alfred exchanged long-suffering looks over the teenager's head. Healing took time, but never seemed complete. Bruce's wrists were fine, but his cape remained damaged. Its tattered edges fluttered in every breeze, and when he tried to bolt out the night, the holes in it let the glow of the cities shine through like stars. Dick was working with Alfred to make patches, but so far, nothing could meld with Bruce's essence. He was simply ragged now, damaged.
Maybe it's psychological, Dick said one night. You know, emotional trauma.
Bruce said, doubtful. There was something missing in him, but for the life of him, he didn't know what. He was less of himself, somehow.
Don't worry, Bee, Dick said, knocking their shoulders together. You still got me and Alfie. We'll take care of you. The three of us are a team, remember?
Bruce covered Dick with his tattered cloak and let the knight cuddle against him.
No, not a team,
Bruce said.
Family.
Dick snuggled closer. He still hadn't outgrown his need for physical affection. Bruce was grateful.
Yeah, his son said.
That we are. And we don't need princesses at all.
Bruce opened his mouth to say he still wanted one, then slowly closed it. Perhaps he wouldn't be so lucky to find a romance like that, but that didn't mean he was lacking in other meaningful things. Dick was right. Bruce had a family, and they would never leave him, no matter how strange and ungainly the three of them were. He let his tendrils curl tighter around Dick, the first human he had learned to love, the one Bruce had changed for, and the reason for everything he did. He buried his wish for a spouse down deep in the dark that no one, not even Gotham, could touch, and lifted his face to the sky. The stars were hidden under the smog, but the moon shone bright, washing out the shadows with its gleam and smiling down with promise. The city was alive with the noise of 10 million people, and Gotham sang its song within his bones, as vibrant as it had always been.
Bruce breathed a deep breath, drank it in, and smiled.
No, I don't,
Bruce said.
Not as long as I have you.
Epilogue. In a land where the moon was still in bed and the sun danced upon its throne, there was a place with no light, and a woman who yearned for the dark. Talia leaned back in her chair, eyes red after hours of work. It had been a long day, a hard one like so many were, but her soul purred with satisfaction that finally, finally, her plan was beginning to work.
You have done a marvelous job, daughter, her father said, one hand curled on the back of her chair. He wore emerald rings with metal snakes twisted around the jewels.
I had begun to think of it as impossible. After all, you did not capture his heart.
The reminder sent a dull ache through her ribs. She had left her beloved in that hateful city, bound to serve a land that wasn't worthy of his strength or grace. But she had not escaped empty-handed. And that had to be enough for now, at least until she could go back and save him properly, once that wretched boy of his was out of the way.
Fear not, father, Talia said, rising to her feet. My love is strong enough to prevail over the sun itself. This is one thing I will not fail, even if the stars were to go cold.
Both sets of eyes were fixed on the mechanical womb in the center of the room, where a cluster of shadows writhed. Some still had the threadbare hints of the fabric they had once been.
Every shadow in that city is part of him. That doesn't change if they are taken away, Talia said, smiling as she caressed the glass. Robin may have had his hooks into Batman's soul, but Talia had still managed to grab a piece of his cape. It hadn't been the heart she wanted, but even a single piece of Gotham's night had been worth the struggle to obtain it. So long as her heart was feeding the fragments, it would not die. Those insipid human follies were being purged from it, and already she could see it changing into something powerful, something hers.
Damien will be perfect, Talia said, pressing her cheek against the glass as she felt her heart beat in tandem with the dark.
The end.
Unfortunately, Talia's plan to immediately go back to Gotham and save Bruce gets put on the back burner when baby Damien proves to be a parenting nightmare, being born from a fragment of an emotionally repressed himbo vigilante based on the other side of the world does not a happy baby make, especially when said baby is literally made of shadows. Baby bat love for the win.
Bruce, skewing romance. I will be a father, and nothing but a father.
Dick. Yes? Wait, why are you talking mean and reading me bedtime stories? I'm literally a teenager.
Bruce, flipping through the hungry caterpillar. Age is just a number.
Dick. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. Alfie!
Reader's notes. Cold read this chapter, literally cold reading all the ones that I hadn't read already, so everything past the next installment, so that I have an extra incentive to record instead of, like, forgetting about it. And I'm actually kind of sad that Dick doesn't end up with Babs in this, like, even in the background for a little bit. Like, I don't OTP them, but I also do ship them a little bit as something that happens between them.
And I don't think there would have been an opportunity for them to be together before, like, the rest of the stuff happens. At least, not as a focus. Also, can't wait for baby Bat Bluff Damien to meet Dick and once again get his shape from him. Because I am a big fan of, like, Dick being the parental figure most present in Damien's life. And yeah, I would just love to see Talia's reaction to that. It would be fantastic. Thank you. Yes. Anyway, thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed. And please remember to drink some water today.